And we're speaking today with the winner of the 2016 OSPA, OSPA's Awards, or the Outstanding Security Performance Awards. And let's welcome Mr. James Marcello of Axis Communications. Welcome to the show, James.
Thanks, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be on here. Thank you.
Now, let's just do a little bit of housekeeping for everybody so we understand what event we're talking about. This is going to be the 2017 awards we want everybody to go to, of course. That's at the ASIS Luncheon, and that's on Wednesday, September 27th. Now, of course, that luncheon is inside the big one, the granddaddy of them all, www.securityexpo.org, ASIS International's 2017 Expo and Conference. And that's taking place this year in good old-fashioned Dallas, Texas, September 25th to 28th. But actually, it's the 26th to the 28th because we have the Texas Knights party before that, which you guys can come to on Sunday before that. So without further ado, let's get into this award you received, James, because I'm really excited to talk about this. Customer service is it's a big pet peeve of mine. And you won for Outstanding Customer Service Initiative, which even sounds more complex and interesting. So tell us what that award was about and you know, how you qualified for it and how you won it.
Well, again, thanks for letting us be on the show, Chuck. And this award is probably one of the most exciting awards for me personally at Axis. We've won many technology awards over the year, but this award really talks about our people. And that's what really customer service and technical support is all about. In 2015, we put together an initiative to invest in our people and our technology so that we could provide better customer service to our customers.
Now, I like this word initiative. And I'm gonna ask you a tough question. Why was there no initiative before? what was the issue that caused customer service to come to the forefront that we needed to improve? And not a criticism, just really, I want this information so other people can see the need to do this. I think it's so important.
Sure. And it's really an evolution. We've always invested in customer support and technical services. I've been running that department for over a decade now. What we saw was we had some outdated technology that we needed to improve upon. We introduced and invested in a new call ticketing system so that whenever someone called in, we would take down all of their information. We would give them a ticket number, and now we'd have a history of our interactions with that customer. Prior to that, we were really doing that on paper and really antiquated. We also invested in our people. We created a tier one support department, which essentially hired six new people, brought them in to screen incoming calls. They actually solve up to 30% of those calls that come in. And the more complex troubleshooting calls go up to our tier two group, which is really geared towards troubleshooting those more difficult technical type questions that we might get from time to time. So technical support has always been an important initiative for us. It's just something that you've got to continually invest in, continually train your people in. And it's not like we were just starting fresh in 2015. We've been doing this for quite some time now.
Now, what kind of call volume do you guys get? I think this goes a lot to understand the challenge this is. When I was at Fox, our little department inside the broadcast center, which was one piece of Fox, we received over 250,000 calls for service a year with an employee base of about 2,000 people working in the building. So very busy. And, you know, this is all back in the day when we had Excel spreadsheets and, you know, no automation and things like that. And we just had to get it done and figure out a way to do it. So what kind of volume are we talking about when it comes to a large enterprise like yourself?
So we handle about 115,000 interactions a year. And of that, about 60,000 to, you know, 70,000 are done over the phone. The rest of those interactions are comprised of chat, online chat, as well as an online help desk where people can submit cases online.
Now, that's a huge challenge. And I like this, the way you spoke about the tier two, because oftentimes you get the guy on the phone, and I won't say where they're calling from, but we've had these call centers, right? And they can't help you. And there is not a tier two. It's, I'm not sure what to do. Let's check the Microsoft help manual. And it's very frustrating. So tell me what the tier two level does. And do we go to the tier two level immediately? If tier one's not working, does the customer get transferred there right away?
So tier one to us really is a screening function. And when we get first call resolution in tier one, those calls are on things such as, you know, what's the status of my RMA, or, you know, what is this part number for this particular housing that I need for my camera? Most of the calls that make it past tier one are of a technical nature. And the tier two group, you know, we actually have a saying for our organization, and this goes for tier one and tier two, and that is staying with you all the way. And the idea there is we're not going to finger point. We're not going to push the blame or shuffle you off to another organization. What we want to do is work with you, and whether that involves bringing in other partners that we work with to help solve this issue, but we're going to stay with you all the way until from problem determination to problem resolution. And really, that's what it's all about for us. And now, in tier two, I was going to say in tier two, we have about an 80% first call resolution, which is really just fantastic numbers in the industry. And that's something that we really strive to do is, you know, solve your issue on that first call so that, you know, you don't have to call again, possibly have a second truck roll. It's really about getting that first call resolution.
So OSPA stands for the Outstanding Security Performance Awards, and you were the winner for the Outstanding Customer Service Initiative. Define outstanding. Maybe you can walk us through what the criteria was you needed to apply with and present to OSPA's to win that award.
So for applying for the award, there was really two questions that we had to answer, and we had the opportunity to essentially just write up about the initiative that we did in 2015. About 500 words for each of those questions. And what we did was we outlined the investment that we made in systems and the investment that we made in our people. And those two questions got submitted to a panel of judges who then went through and evaluated that. There were many qualified applicants for this particular category. We're very fortunate and very happy that we were the winners of it.
Now, we love stats. We like stats more than we like facts here on Security Guy TV. Maybe you could tell me how your improvement changed. So we wrote the initiative. You put it in place. What kind of improvement did you see in your numbers as far as, you know, response times, resolution times, that kind of thing?
You know, Chuck, it's interesting. We really have three pillars when we talk about our customer service and technical support initiative. Number one is increasing customer satisfaction. Our second pillar is increasing employee satisfaction, because you really want to make sure that you keep employees, you want to retain them, keep their experience, and make sure that they're happy where they're working. Third thing is cost per interaction. We'd like to decrease that cost per interaction. So when we instituted this new program with Tier 1, first of all, Tier 1 resources are on a different pay scale than Tier 2. They don't have to have a technical background like the Tier 2 folks that do. And again, if we can solve 30% on average in tier one, we're obviously saving our costs on the bottom line. We're increasing customer satisfaction because they're getting a first call resolution. And our employee satisfaction at tier two is going up as well, because they're not dealing with things that you know, don't require their technical expertise. So those three pillars were really hit on when we did this initiative. And it's really how we gauge anything that we do in the technical support department when we're looking at improving our services. We really look at those three pillars and see, are they hitting all three of them? And how can we get better at customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, and then ultimately cost per interaction?
Now, this is really, you hit on a key point here. It's cost per transaction, so to speak, right? If you're making a widget and you have to sell the widget, there's a cost after you manufacture in distribution, you know, the store, the taxes, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think we look at security service the same way, but we should. And I'll give you a good example. At Fox, this is back in the 90s. Yeah, well, I'm dating myself, the 90s. Like I said, we had about 250,000 calls for service in our small department, generated by less than 2,000 employees a year. And when we broke down what our number one function was, it turned out, even though we were a highly access control facility, had to have an ID card, had to park in a certain space, the studio itself had access control. Even with all that, our number one service was we opened doors. Because people did what? They forgot their keys.
Sure.
So I got the calculator out, and I took my shoes off, and I counted this all up. It turned out every time I opened a door, it cost $125. And the guard, we paid him his salary of about $14. to open it, but it was costing me $125. And the first thing we did was say, guess what? If you forgot your keys, you better go home and get them. And all of a sudden, my costs went down in the department. I need less personnel. I wasn't paying for overtime kind of things. So this is something that we thought about before we had the ability to do analytics. And I'm glad to see that this is becoming common in the security industry. And I think it is, because it's where it's in this business. If we don't go to that model in physical security, especially, cybersecurity is going to come in and come up with a solution, take it over. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, technical support has been a competitive advantage for our organization for more than a decade. We take it very, very seriously, and we look for and we hire people who we know are going to want to support our customers, who have that right mentality, right culture fit for what we're trying to drive. Because ultimately, very good, qualified, and timely customer support is a competitive advantage, and it's something that our upper management realizes and are more than happy to invest to ensure that we maintain that edge.
Now, what was the driver on this? What made you say, you know what, I got this brainstorm, we're going to redo this. What kind of motivated you to come up with it?
Honestly, it was looking at what we did over the last decade, talking to the folks who are actually doing the support, looking at their day-to-day challenges that they went through, and we knew we could do better. And we decided that here is an opportunity for us to bring in technology to decrease the overall time that someone might spend on an interaction, and also provide the technical support engineer tools to get the job done in a more efficient manner. And when you can do that, you can basically make the customer happier, first call resolution, and make that employee happier. And that's really what we were trying to get accomplished here. So it was really about just looking at and talking to our people and really finding out what their day-to-day was like and how we could improve that.
Now, let's talk about the making the employee happy. I think this is a major component that's sometimes overlooked by people involved in the process. What or how quickly did you see a return on, let's call it morale, for your employees when these new initiatives were put in place? And if morale is high, customer service is going to be high by default, right?
You know, that's what we think, and that's what we hope, and actually that's what we've seen. So we've always had a very good morale in our department over the years. I think it ebbs and flows over time, particularly, when we see high call volumes go up and things get difficult sometimes, particularly around, vacation periods and things of that. But what we did, not only did we invest in systems, but on the people side, some of the things that we did. Number one, we put all 36 of our employees through a 3-day customer service training with the Help Desk Institute. That was really focused on soft skills to help them do a better job at working with our customers. We also did a salary review, and we found that in some cases we needed to increase our salaries because we weren't being competitive there. We also created, and the third piece of this was creating a matrix of skills. And we tied that matrix of skills directly to promotion levels or levels within the department. So we have technical services representatives who are those frontline tier one support folks. We have the technical services engineers and senior technical services engineers. And then we have a technical specialist level. And that matrix that I talked about really defines what we expect from each of those levels. And now the employees have, a prerequisite for what they need to do in order to be promotion ready. And that also helped drive morale because people like to advance in their careers.
Well, we used to call that the internal customer, right? Your internal customer, your own employees, is almost the first step you need to fix. So it sounds like you guys nailed this. Got it exactly right. James Marcella, Axis Communications, winner of the 2016 OSPA Awards, or the Outstanding Security Performance Awards, for Outstanding Customer Service Initiative. And remember now, you guys can go to the 2017 awards by following up at the ASIS Luncheon. That's Wednesday, September 27th, 2017, And for more information on that, just go to securityexpo.org for ASIS 2017 information. And, of course, that will be in, let's hope, dry Dallas, Texas. A little bit of hurricane today down there. Let's see if that works out. And that's on September 25th to the 28th. But actually, the 24th will be the ASIS Texas Night Party before that as well. And you're all welcome to join us there as well. So, Mr. James, I am very happy to have you on here. I'm glad we worked out all our little technical glitches that happened the other day. But we're all good to go. So, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Security Guy TV in a special edition for ASIS 2017. And we'll see you next time on SecurityGuyTV.com and SecurityGuyRadio.com. Good night.
Thank you, Chuck.